where to start a Bible study. We started this lesson on Sunday and just talked about the fact that really every Bible study with different people kind of starts in somewhat a different place. Depends on the questions that they might have. It depends on if they've looked at the Bible before or not. Or what kind of Bible study they've had. And I use the term Bible study in kind of a loose way. Some people have heard preachers preach from the Bible, but not so much. And they only know what they've been told, and they don't really know what the Bible says at all. Even like when we said on Sunday, you know, you say to some people, you know, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and they say, where does it say that at? Well, right in the beginning. Literally, some people have no idea where you would find something like that. The point is, what I'm trying to illustrate, is that to some degree, every Bible study kind of starts off at a different spot, and yet somehow it seems to me that we have to come back to a point and make some very basic points and foundational points that we can start on. Because if we don't do that, as we get into the study, we will be in trouble if we haven't put some things together as a foundation that we can agree on. On Sunday, we talked some about the fact that in the realm of religion, God has all authority. And I want to back up on that point a little bit, because there was a couple of things I didn't say that I think is really important. I mean, we talked about Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we talked a little bit about some points that might be made as you go through chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we talked about that in the beginning there was God, and here is the things that He did. He spoke all things into existence. We talked some about what Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, that he reminded them of God's greatness, that He spoke all things, you know, that came into place, that we are created in God's image, all of these things. But still, backing up to this point, that in the realm of religion, God is all authority, this is a point that really needs to be discussed and agreed on in a Bible study. Now, almost everybody that is from a Christian background, okay, I'm using that in a very broad sense, because anybody who is a part of a Protestant religion considers themselves Christian. And yet, when you start talking about something that God has all authority, they would probably say, yes, God, we have to listen to God. Our preacher says we must listen to God. Our priest says, you know, the reverend says we must listen to God. And yet, really and truly, they know nothing at all about what God has said, only what they've been told that God said. And so really stopping and spending some time talking about the fact that God has all authority and what that means is incredibly important. Because somewhere down the road in the discussion, it's going to come up, but my pastor didn't say it that way. Or my pastor says, or the reverend says, or my priest says. That'll come up. And in some kind way, we have to go, well, oh, but wait a minute though. Remember, we said way back in our study, and we agreed that God has all authority. And so what if your pastor said something that's different than what God says? Who are we going to believe? And almost, God. It has to be God. And you know, almost everybody will agree to that. Because really, in our first study, we already established that and we already agreed to that. And we've probably even repeated that point several times. But now comes the struggle. And you see sometimes people that just struggle with, as we go through scriptures and we read about the things that God says, you can sometimes see, like, you hear a little ding, ding, ding when they realize this is different than what pastor said. This is different than what the priest said. And there's an internal struggle about what to do. This is what I'm talking about when I say, you know, in the realm of religion, God has all authority. that we really have to, we have to nail that point down. And even when they quickly say, like I said, most religious people agree, oh yes, of course, God, you know, we have to listen to God. You know, and we've made these points that God is the maker and creator of all things. We believe God because He is God. It is who He is. And almost everybody agrees with all those points. And it's always good to kind of say, man, there's a lot of things we agree on, isn't there? You know, when there are things we agree on, it's always good to acknowledge those points. Because we're going to come to a point where there's some things we don't agree on. But if we have established very well that God is all authority, I want to do what God says, don't you? Almost everybody says, yeah, that's what we have to do. There's going to come a point in our study where people have to choose. And they have to choose to obey God, or they're going to choose to obey what some man or woman has told them.
And whether they choose to obey God or obey what some man or woman has told them is going to be dictated by, have they really, truly accepted the idea that God has total authority?
Absolutely. That's right. And you know, this is where it really comes down to, we looked at the passage, the sower, you know, the different kind of soils. There are honest hearts and there are not honest hearts. The seed that is sown in soil where it grows is seed that was sown, as the text would say, in a noble and good heart, or honest and good heart. It's going to respond differently. And most here have had discussions or Bible studies with people, and we've seen the situation where there are some where it doesn't matter what passage you open to and what you read, there are some who will accept what Scripture says. There are some who are just not. Okay, we're down to the kind of soil that the seed has been sown in. There is soil that won't receive the seed. And there is some soil that is likened to an honest and good heart, and that will accept what it says. I'm going to tell you, it's hard when you have met a number of times with somebody, maybe for weeks, and it comes to a point where you're getting to some critical issues, and you think that they have accepted God as authority, and you come to a point where you realize they are not willing to leave where they are to follow God. It's sad. It's difficult. And sometimes you can't find the words to try to change their mind. And in fact, I'm not sure that it's not our words that really will change their mind. It is they are willing to accept what God has said, or they are not willing. And it can be a very difficult time. And everybody responds differently in that too. I mean, there are some who get mad at you because you're saying something different than what they believe. And even though you appeal a time and again, but wait a minute now, let's look at this passage. I mean, here's what you believe. Here's what Jesus says, or here's what Jehovah God says, or here's what the Apostle Paul says, or here's what the inspired writer says. This is all from God, and it's different than what you believe. I mean, I've had people say, I don't care what that says. This is what granddaddy did. This is what mom and daddy did. This is what I believe too. Well, how do you compete with that? You know, I am fully convinced that the gospel of Christ has the power to save souls of men if they will but believe. If they will accept it and obey it. But it comes to a point sometime where people make their choice and their decisions, and there's nothing more we can say. If they won't accept God's word, there's nothing we can say that's going to change that. Sure.
But your granddaddy or God, mm-hmm. who has more authority than anybody that says that they're a Christian and is going to, follow the Bible, has to say, well, God has more authority.
Mm-hmm. If they're honest.
If they're honest.
Right. That's right. It comes to just a difficult point. I think I told you a story about Morgan, about his wife studying with his wife, but we had no success with her. We actually, Morgan, her husband, was restored, but we didn't get anywhere with her. And I can't remember if I told you this part. When we came, Sandra and I had been studying with her for weeks. I can't remember how long now, but it was a pretty good while. And she was very involved in the AME Church, African Episcopal, Methodist Church. And when we really came to the point where I knew our study was coming to an end, this was the most bizarre thing. This was a long time ago. And I'd never been in this particular situation before. I truly believe that she was looking for truth. She was praying for truth. Truth had been delivered. And she came to a point of understanding that so much of the doctrine that she had followed was different than what this said. Because as we were working on some issues and reading through, she started crying. I don't know if I told you this part or not. I mean, she started crying. I mean, this crocodile tears rolling down her face, just crying. I see what you're saying. I can't deny what you're reading. But she was still not willing to follow that because of the influence of her friends and the influence that she thought she had on her. What would they do without me? And I'm thinking to myself, they will go to hell if they follow you. I didn't say that. Maybe I should have. I don't know. You don't know what to say sometimes. I mean, but she was teaching a doctrine that was different than this, and she recognized that. This is what was so bizarre to me. She recognized that and was still unwilling to change that. That was just incredible to me.
When we think about the parable of the man who was walking through the field, he found the treasure mm-hmm. and went and sold everything he had to buy that
mm-hmm.
because he recognized mm-hmm. the value. The value.
Mm-hmm.
As bizarre as this sounds, there are people who will walk through that field and see that treasure and recognize it for what it is, but they are not willing to sell everything they own
yeah.
to buy that treasure. And we see that kind of an example in some of the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day.
Yeah.
They saw Jesus performing miracles, undeniable
right.
miracles.
Right.
They knew that he was a prophet of God, but they were not willing to buy the treasure.
Yeah.
They weren't willing to sell everything they owned and buy that treasure because what they possessed was more important to them than that.
A treasure that was so sure, because like you said, what Jesus was doing, he proved himself undeniably to be the Son of God. And they still let that go. Just like some people have been at least honest enough to look for truth and want truth, and then they read it and they come to realize this is the truth, but not accept it. I can't offer an explanation for that. I mean, that's bizarre to me. And those who are here who have come to the Lord, I mean, we saw something and we decided to accept this and follow, obey this. And so it's hard to understand when someone can see the same thing we do but reject it. That's just hard to process to me.
John 12:42. You can't say it any better than that, I don't think. They love the synagogues.
Yeah. They enjoyed their place. Kind of like Miss Morgan, these people depend on me. What would they do without me? They expect me to be there on Sunday. It's the same kind of thing. If she had changed, we tried that route too. It was just incredible. So, all of this being... Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I was just going to say real quick that, something I always try to say and remember is that truth never suffers from investigation. we have to have that same attitude. We should never be afraid to sit down with somebody and have them ask us the most difficult questions they can think of. Mm-hmm. We may not have the answer right away, but say, well, let's look and let's figure this out together. And we need to put ourselves in the shoes of this lady you're talking about.
Sure.
You know, what if that happened to me?
Yeah.
What if I were studying
with
someone and they pointed something out that I was doing
wrong? Right.
Would I be willing to make that step?
That's right. Or I think we have to be real careful that we don't look at somebody that's unwilling to accept truth and be ugly about it or make fun. What if our parents didn't teach us? What if our best friends somewhere along the line taught us the gospel, hadn't taught us? What if whoever it was that introduced us to the gospel hadn't done so? Would we have found truth? What if it wasn't until now in our life that someone came to us and said, I've been studying something I can't wait to share with you. It's the gospel of Jesus, and he teaches us about heaven and how to get there. Would we accept what he said? Would we accept what this says? What would we do? And so we have to be careful what we think and how we respond to somebody else who's struggling with these issues, you know, as well. All of this here, all this peripheral discussion even, still we're keeping this in the realm of somehow having to establish in the realm of religion, God is authority. And we have to be willing to accept that God is authority. And if there's some problems in the discussion with people accepting that, there's no reason to go to lesson two. If we don't have this part worked out, God is all authority, we better spend some more time right here. There's no reason to go on.
And we don't have a problem understanding the concept of absolute authority, even within the realm of the affairs of men, for example. We don't live under a monarch today. Mm-hmm.
That's what you did.
Absolute law.
That was it.
That was it. You had no grounds to stand on. Mm-hmm. Protest. You might not like it, but that was the law.
Sure.
For those of us who've been in the military,
mm-hmm.
if the admiral says or the general says, this is what we're going to do.
Yes, sir.
That is absolute. You cannot buck it.
That's it.
And we understand that. But when mm-hmm. it comes to religion, people feel like they can just do whatever they want to and God will accept it.
This is a key point. And in fact, when we're talking about God as authority, I think we have to even stop and back up and make some examples. We understand authority in the realm of daily life. Now, in this country, I mean, this is getting pretty blurred, I'm afraid, in so many ways. It's not like the monarchy of years gone by. And yet we can still come up with some examples. I mean, in the workplace, someone's the boss. And we can understand that if there is not leadership, there's just chaos. It doesn't work. Someone has to be in charge. In school, there has to be someone who has authority that says, okay, the bell's going to ring at 9 o'clock, and when that happens, here's what we're going to do. Someone's in charge. You know, if in the home, there is, by God's plan, there's leadership in the home. I guess that's not always the best example anymore because in most homes, there's not leadership. There's chaos in too many homes. But by God's plan, there's leadership in the home. I've used this example sometimes with the fire department. You know, a fire department is kind of like the military. You know, firefighters, lieutenants, captain, assistant chief. And even on the volunteer department, you know, why you try not to make too big of a deal about rank? It's just a bunch of guys who are trying to do the right thing out here. When you're in an emergency situation, if you're wearing the white hat, you do what the guy says that with the white hat. I mean, there's not time to say, well, what do you think we should do? You know, let's take a vote. Should we use the jaws or should we use a chain on this car to pop the roof? You know, no. There's not time for this. It's not time for discussion. You know, whoever's in command, whether it's a captain or a chief or whatever, is going to say, okay, here's what we're going to do this. You go get this, you get this, and you go take care of this, and boom. I mean, there's authority in what happens, and it has to be that way. And so we understand that. I mean, you can use an example like that. Now, everybody's going like, yeah, I see why it has to be that way. In the realm of religion, God has all authority. And it has to be that way. We made the point Sunday, it's because He is God. Because He is the maker and creator, He has the right to have all authority. I want us to move a little bit farther tonight down to Genesis chapter 139. Actually, that's Psalms 139 that we're going to. Psalms 139. There's a passage here I really like, kind of for multiple reasons. For one thing, I like it because it helps me. I mean, it has helped me to gain some insight to God. I mean, it is, to me, it is so descriptive of who God is and His power, His ability, His being. It's just an incredible passage to me this way. It helps to highlight, as we've said, the depth and the breadth of God. I want to break this down here a little bit tonight. In 139th Psalm, looking at the first six verses. And as we read through, I want you to be thinking about two or three points that just stands out to you. What does this say about God? Psalm 139. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. What does that say about God? That's right. That narrows it down. And even when we think we've got it all figured out, we don't. But God does. God knows all. And our ways are always in full view of God.
Verse 1 says to me, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. That tells me that God is interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is mind-blowing when you think about it. When you consider that He is God Almighty, creator of the universe.
And He knows me. All the way through this text, through verse 16, this is a point that really stands out to me. God knows who I am. That's amazing. That's right. And He knows me. And this is just unreal. Let me throw out some other passages we'll just look at real quick. You may want to write these down. They might be helpful to you. Let's just look at some others here real quick, like Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5, verse 21. This is interesting. Proverbs 5, verse 21. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all his paths. There's nothing that's hidden from the Lord. But our ways are in His view all the time. What about Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. A few more pages over. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 14. Chapter 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows everything. Back in the Psalms, the 147th Psalm. Psalm 147, verse 4. It's a psalm of praise to God, indicating some things about His power. Verse 4 says, this one has always stood out to me, He determines the number of the stars and calls each one of them by name. Really? Like He... That's just over the top for me. But of course, remember, He's the creator of all things. There's not a star that He hasn't laid His hand upon. There's not a star that He hasn't made that's not there because of His will. And if He chooses to name them, that's just fine. You know, it just... I don't know why that one is just... I mean, I think about Abraham, okay? That he would have a people, a nation, you know, like the stars in the sky, right? Isn't that something? Yeah, they're less all the time. My barber made a little comment about that today. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It is getting thin. Can we talk about something else, please? You tell it to do. Right. Right.
That's the way God is. God has programmed us. He's given us the ability to make decisions, but He knows what decision we're going to make.
Yeah.
That blows your mind when you think about it, that somebody knows that much about you.
But if anyone could know such about us, I mean, it's kind of like we know Mama knows when you've done wrong.
Right.
You ever figure, I mean, it's like you couldn't ever fool Mama? I mean, I couldn't. You know, I tried. You know, but God knows us intimately because He is the Creator. And it's like all things of the universe. He knows all things, even the names of the stars because He named them. Just over the top to me.
God designed us. He created us. And we recognize in the physical realm, if somebody designs a product, mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Instruction manual.
That's right. Absolutely right.
You keep saying it's over the top. David said the same thing. Such knowledge is too wonderful.
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah, I'm not the originator of that either. You know? That's right. That's right. It was over the top to David, too. You know? But just beautiful passage right here. You know, about the knowledge of God. God knows all things. Let's read a little bit farther here. Begin at verse 7. Let's read a little farther. Pick out two or three things that just really stand out. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. What's it say about God? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? What's it say about God? That He is. That God is everywhere. There's nothing hidden from God. We read a passage a moment ago that alluded to that point as well. There's no place to go where you can hide from God. What other points here? Yeah.
But God's there. These guys that went to the moon and walked on the moon, they're up there walking around on the moon. God is there. So if you're in darkness or in light, God is there, and that's physical darkness and physical light. Or if you're in spiritual darkness, there's not a spiritual darkness where you can go that God's not there. And if you want to, He can help you out.
Yeah. Yeah. Points. What else?
Well, this kind of goes back to the previous section we were looking at, but I don't know if you're going there or not, but what David is saying is that God knows me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
And at the end of this prayer, I love what he says, because he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." And that's the prayer we should all have.
Yeah.
Is if I am an error, Lord.
Yeah.
Show me. I can't.
You know me. You know my weaknesses. Yeah. You know what I struggle with. Help me, O Lord. And who else would we call on? But the God that is the God that knows all, the God that is everywhere. Of course we would want to call on Him. You know, this is incredible to me. And you know, we probably haven't spent enough time thinking about passages such as this. But you sit down with some people and you kind of start working through some passages like this, and it can be quite amazing to some. I mean, even if they believe in God, they've not thought about the depth and the breadth of God and what He is and who He is. Death does not hide us from God. Did you get this? I mean, he's like, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, or some translation might say Sheol, which is the realm of the dead, you are there. There's no place that we can be that God does not know where we are and does not know our presence. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
But when I have anxiety, I read this and it calms me.
Comforting to know that there is a God who knows us and loves us. I mean, that's amazing. That's a good passage to go to.
You said something that you start studying with people and they've never considered these things before. And we have the living Word of God. And that's what we need people to understand, that God
right.
They will allow Him and they will understand things they could never understand.
Absolutely.
But this is so old and out of date.
But God said it.
Yeah. He said that this is comforting to know.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who have humanistic beliefs and things along those lines, it's very disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
They become, wait a minute, this is, I'm supposed to be, human beings are supposed to be the
ultimate, yeah.
Yeah, we make mistakes, but there's nothing better than us.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying there's something that knows more, knows everything,
mm-hmm.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
And so that's one of the difficulties that we run into.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because the vastness of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, it all begins with a big bang. Okay, what was before that?
Right, that's right.
And
here we are back to this issue again, Neil. If there are those who are not willing to take God's word and accept it, I don't know where else to go. I don't have anything else to offer. You know, and so, I mean, all we can try to do is present it in such a way to help them see and read the words that we're reading and to understand that it is from God. Now, whether they accept that or not, we can't dictate. It's going to be up to them, you know, whether they will or not. Look at this next section here, for our time is gone. Verse 13, we begin. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. There's several points we can make here. But I try to emphasize the point here of God's unlimited power. I mean, I think there's some interesting discussion that can be made here about arguments against abortion and when does life begin and some issues like that. That's generally not where I like to start a Bible study. Okay? That's probably not where we need to go. But the points that can easily be made here about God's unlimited power, God's unlimited ability and authority, we can make some points about that from right here, even to the point that He knew us in the womb. That defines a lot about God's power. Your thoughts? It emphasizes the point that Jesus is God.
Yes.
Just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You see the same characteristics.
Absolutely.
That Jesus displayed.
That's a good point.
And you see them reflected in the way that David describes the God of the heavens.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful argument for the deity of Christ.
It sure is. It sure is. I hadn't even thought about it in that realm, but you are right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Or I'm just not seeing straight. You made a point, and it occurred to me that you know, where do you go when somebody rejects God's word? And I really think that is the equivalent to the blasphemy
of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Because they rejected the power.
And what else is left?
There's nothing left.
I mean, when you reject God's word, what is left? I mean, because there's no place else to go. It's like that uncomfortable point in a Bible study. You maybe study with somebody for weeks, and you finally come to a point where it's like it's obvious they are not willing to accept God's word and make decisions based on that. And sometimes, it's a painful thing to realize that this study has come to an end. And you have to kind of announce that because there's no place to go. If they're not willing to make decisions based on His Word, there's nothing else you can say There's nothing else you can offer if they won't take the word. And there are times where sometimes a study has to come to an end, you know, unless you have a renewed interest in studying and making decisions on God's word. There's nothing else I can say. And there may be somebody else I can talk to that would be willing just to study God's word. It sounds harsh, but it's true. Or swine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Off your feet and go on. That's right. But I tell you what, that can be hard. But it's what you have to do sometimes. There are some who will. That's exactly right. Wow.
So it's my job or
yep.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, he would not do it except God. He had to take it to the job.
Isn't that amazing?
And we worked together for many years after that.
So isn't that amazing? Wow. Wow, that's hard. Lord willing, on Sunday, page 16, top of page 16 is where we're going. Acts chapter 17. I had a little bit to say about Acts chapter 17 this past Sunday, so I'm not planning on spending a lot of time on that point. We're going to kind of move on from there. Thank you for your good comments.